What's happening, my debt-free millionaire zelts? Hey, this is Zach Edwards coming to you for another podcast. This is actually the second one. And today we're going to start going into the first book that's going to be on the debt-free millionaire personal finance course. Now, let's go through the introduction. I just want to give you a little bit of an explanation. I talked about it a little bit last time. But so in the world today, there's two major mindsets. One is the rich dad, poor dad, Robert Kiyosaki, multi-millionaire businessman idea. And there's the Dave Ramsey multi-millionaire businessman idea. Now, how these two different are basically on the word debt. Debt is a big thing. It basically means how much money you owe someone else. So there is, some people would say there's good debt and there's bad debt. There's some that would actually say all debt is bad. There's some people that say that you get into debt for certain things, such as housing with a mortgage, or student loans, or even transportation. But beyond that, nothing. But I'm going to let you decide. I'm not going to be the one that judges this. I'm going to let that be up to you. But what we will do is we'll go through all these different parts and see what you like and what you don't like. So again, I will not try to push you in one direction or not. I'm just going to try to give you good values and let you make the decision. Now, some of the difference, Robert Kiyosaki, multi-millionaire, has, as he said in his podcast, about $2 billion worth of debt. Well, he is very wealthy and has a lot of smarts in the way of business. But his idea is more of, you get into debt and then you leverage that debt to make more money, which is great, but it also causes a lot of bankruptcies, which he's had before. Now, or you can go the way of like Dave Ramsey, who says, hey, pay off your debts, get rid of that stress, which I can agree. I have a lot less stress because I got out of debt. And then all of a sudden I put on more debt and I got a little bit more stress in my life. And also trying to pay back all these loans. And I could put other people in charge of that, but that's not the point. But the way that if you go with Dave Ramsey, you will never become bankrupt because you never owe anyone. And so if you can get to the point of being debt-free, you have no problems. Well, here's the thing. You don't even have to go into life getting into major debt. Maybe get a credit card so you can gather some credit on your side. But here's the thing to know. Why are you getting credit? Well, you're getting credit so that you can get more into debt. And then why are you getting into debt? So you get more credit. And then why are you getting, it's like an ongoing circle that you really don't need to. And I'm going to teach you how you don't need to do it. But at the same time, I'm going to be able to explain both sides because there are good points to each of them. They actually have very valid points depending on how you want to run your life. And so we're going to go through this as we go into this podcast. And also my course. Now I'm going to run you through my personal finance course. Now I'm not going to read it to you. In order for you to get all the information, you actually have to read it. But I'm going to run you through all this information and help you know by life experience how this actually applies to you. Now, as a piece of clarification, I did not get my MBA. I actually went to school for construction management and also went for computer science. Now, I did actually get my bachelor's degree in construction management with a minor in business, but I'm also not a CPA or a financial advisor. So none of this can be financial advice to you. So take everything with a grain of salt. At the same time, my book is actually backed up by CPAs, those with MBAs, and every other criteria you could ask for, because I want to make sure that everything that I say is sound doctrine and not just on a whim. So I will not teach you anything that's just on a whim per se. I'm going to get you all this information so you can make your decision of where you want to go in order to be one, debt-free if you'd like to be, two, be a millionaire if you'd like to be. Billionaire too would be great, but truthfully, not many people need to be a billionaire. But it's a nice place to be, especially because you can give back to people that you see great causes for. But at the same time, here's another little note. Don't always rely on other people to get you to places. So I can run a fundraiser online. And you know what? I might have a good amount of connections, but they're not really interested in what I'm doing. So there's a question if they're going to help you out. They say that it takes a community. No, truthfully, it takes an individual. If you're going to do something, you need to be able to do it. If you're going to do something, you have to play it smart and then get the job done. You're the only one that's going to get the job done. You could have a whole community behind you, but unless you're going to do something, that community is not going to help you at all. So this is, and this is not just sound doctrine for the United States. This is sound doctrine for around the world. So when last time I said that this is for the youth of America, no, this is the youth of the world. And also adults, please come in and join us. There's a lot of things that we can teach you as we go. Now, these are sound doctrines because one, they're from experience. I'm sharing experiences and sharing knowledge that's been given from CPAs and MBAs and so on and so forth. At the same time, we're also going to be introducing you to our game, which is called, again, Debt-Free Millionaire. And this is going to allow you to simulate life. You're going to be able to simulate everything and anything in life. And it's also going to have an AI connection there. And the reason why we're going to use AI is because there's always things that happen in life, things that happen in the economy, and the AI will be able to make these new scenarios. Instead of putting out a few hundred scenarios like you would in a regular game, these AIs would be able to put out a thousand, a million different scenarios ongoing and adjust the game to be lifelike. So that's what we're going to be doing. I can't tell you any more than that. So just stay tuned for that. But in this introduction, in this this book that you're going to be getting, the Debt-Free Millionaire Personal Finance Book, this is a course, again, for youth and also adults if you want to take it as well. But this will actually bring in the game as you go through the course. You'll learn information and then you'll be able to use it in the game. And there's also a personal game view so you can actually see a little bit more of how this influences your life as well. So that's basically a nice rundown of what the course does. And today what we're going to do is we're going to go into chapter one. So this is actually, I put it down into week one, day one. So these are simple explanations of certain words. I'm going to try to make these interesting so you actually enjoy what you're doing being in this course, but at the same time, give you the information that you need. And in the future, we'll give you more information that you'll be able to glean from. Just so you know, again, another side note, this is called a Brainiac note. One of the things with my Brainiac notes are things that I will bring in brain science so that you'll be able to understand where we're coming from. And this first brain science is a lot of times when you're reading it in a textbook, you'll retain only 10% of the information. That's why we have the game. If you then play the game, then you will retain up to 70 to 80% of what you're learning. So that goes from maybe you're a C student, maybe even a B student. That's like a straight A student. I mean, that kind of a turnaround from 10% to all of a sudden 70%, it's because you're experiencing it. You're having fun with it. You're putting emotion with what you're learning. And because you're doing that, you're automatically going to be able to retain a lot more information. Another side note, when it comes to your other educational courses, if you can find a way to make it emotionally attached to you, you will win. And I don't just mean you'll succeed at that course. No, you'll actually retain the information for a lot longer than you would as if you were just reading a textbook or listening to a lecture. Both of those are mapped at only 10% retention rate. Playing the game, doing some of the other things, activities that we have, brings up to a 70 to 80%. And some of you, I'm pretty sure you can remember about 90% of what we teach you. It's because of how we teach it. So first off, to start, what is income? So income, vocabulary word, everyone remember the word income. It's the amount of money you receive at a given time. So this has to do with the time that you put into it, passive income, which means something that you're not actually doing. So this is the way I think of like passive income. So you have regular income that you have to work for. Passive income is like you're out in the wilderness and you're in survival mode. You go out and you set traps all around your campsite. Now, you don't have to manually stab an animal or try to collect some sort of food. No, instead, those traps are set and ready for the first animal to come by, snap it, so that when you come back to it, there's money, there's food available to you. Again, you're in survival mode. You're surviving in the wilderness. So all these different ways of putting out nets into the water, hooks on a line, traps into the wilderness, these are all basically what you consider passive income. Now, another type of income is your working income, which is basically what you work for. Every single penny you earn, it's like getting a job. If we're talking about survival mode, it's basically you gathering fruits, vegetables, and nuts or whatever. Anything you have to gather and actually put your time into, everything that you get out of that is basically pennies earned on the effort you put into it. So you have workable income and you have passive income. And in the end, we want to get you to passive income because that's what's going to make you money while you sleep. Okay, so the next vocabulary word, the word is debt. Now remember debt, and I've mentioned this a few times. This is how much you owe another person. Now, I could owe a person $1 million, and every month they're going to be asking for what they call interest on that debt, which means they're going to get a percentage back. They want you to pay a percentage of the money that you borrowed. So say you borrowed $100 and you have a 5% interest. So 5% of $100 is $5. So every month you'd be paying them back $5. Now, in banks, they actually bring that out to between 12 months. So I would owe the bank in 1 year, the annual interest rate would be 5%. That means I would pay them back in 1 year, the 5%. So $5 over 12 months. So it seems a little bit more reasonable at that point. But think of this, the more debt you have, the more you have to pay back. So I may owe someone $100, but if I just pay them $5 a year, I still owe them $100, and all they're getting is the interest back, and I never pay off that $100. So be careful of debt, and especially be careful of how many people you owe. Let me just explain a few. Okay, so the normal ones are you have a mortgage. That's a household debt loan. So I buy a house, and I get a loan to buy that house. Well, right now, those loans are about 7%. But that's 7% off of, well, right now, I was about to say $100,000 house. But now, houses are up to $300,000 to $400,000, even for a starter home. So think of it. 7% of $300,000, you have to pay over the whole year. And that doesn't even count the principal. Principal is what the is the main amount. So if you borrowed $300,000, the interest is how much they want paid every month back to them, in addition to the principal, which is the $300,000. So you can have a house, $300,000, and you're paying 7% every year. You're not paying anything towards that house, and you still owe $300,000. So at any point, that bank, that house mortgage company could call that loan and have you have to pay it back to them at any point. Now, that's why we have contracts. And so some contracts say differently, but if you don't pay back, they can take your house back. And so all of a sudden they now have a $300,000 home. You've already paid say like $50,000, $70,000 towards that. But because you didn't pay your debts to them, because maybe you lost your job or maybe some other catastrophe happened, you lost your house. Okay, so let's go on to the next. So other types of debt. We had mortgage. What about a car loan? A car loan, they can repossess your car. And same principles apply on the interest and the principal. Okay, then there's student loans. Now, interesting enough, and this is what every student needs to know before they get a student loan, is that you can go bankrupt and every debt can be forgiven except for your student loans. Your student loan is with you for the rest of your life. There is no forgiveness for that loan. Now, the president might decide he wants to come out and forgive $10,000 of your debt. But two things go wrong when that happens. One, it's a Band-Aid. It does not actually fix the issue. And two, who's paying that debt? You're not. So who's paying that $10,000? The taxpayers are paying the $10,000. So people that are, maybe they never went to school. They decide, hey, I'm going to go straight into a career because I can't get a loan. I can't pay for schooling. All of a sudden, they're paying for your debt for you to go to school. Doesn't exactly seem fair. Okay. Now, there's a lot of different opinions about that. I'm just going to leave it there. You can make your own decision. Okay. The next one is expense. This is something that's very important. You got income, that's money coming into you, into your household or into your bank account. And then you have expenses. Expenses are those that are going out of your bank account. So this is how much you spend on a given amount of time. So expenses are basically, I'm going to pay back, the streaming service. I go with Netflix, Disney Plus, any one of these. And all of a sudden, I've got a lot of expenses. I've got my food expenses, which you can't go without food. So there you go. Shelter, you can't go without shelter. So there you go. I mean, you can, but that's called homeless. There's also any kind of debt that you have. Those are expenses. And every month you have to pay back certain, what we're going to call fixed expenses. Fixed expenses are every month. It's the exact same amount every month. So your streaming service, that's a fixed expense. Any kind of memberships that you have, fixed expense. Gym membership, fixed expense. Utilities, that's not a fixed expense. That is a variable expense. Difference there, a variable expense is basically an expense that can change every month. So you have to be able to decide what is a fixed expense and what is a variable expense. Most variable expenses, you can actually save money by one, being more meaningful, and we'll go more into this later on, but say like turning off your lights. That'll actually save you a ton of money just turning off your lights when you leave a room. Other things like that, gas. So if you turn your thermostat down a little bit, that is a variable expense that you can actually bring down. How about food? I could go out and get name brand food from any store, or I can go to a discount store and get the generic brand cereal and vegetables, and I don't need to buy organic. These are all things that are going to increase the price that you're going to be paying at the grocery store. And though it would be nice to buy organic, though it would be nice to buy name brands. What about clothing? Oh, shoot. Name brands. If you buy name brands, you're going to go bankrupt if you're not making enough money to. So if your income's not going to match what your expenses are. So this is the difference between, again, fixed expenses, which is every month you have your mortgage, you have your debts that come in the exact same amount every month. Or your variable expenses, which is like how much food you're going to eat. Are you going to turn off your electricity to bring your electrical bill down or your gas bill down? These are the two different types of expenses. And we'll go more over this later on. Okay. Now, this is one of the points in this book that you really need to figure out. This is for you to figure out, not your parents to figure out, not the, not even your spouse to figure out. This is what you need to figure out. So if you're married, this is something that you need to know. You need to figure out how you're going to live your life. Are you going to, one, have a low income? If you have a low income, are you going to be debt-free? Are you going to have average debt? Are you going to have high debt? High debt, basically, and are you going to have, with that debt, are you going to have high expenses or low expenses? So if you're a low income, you're not going to be able to have high debt or have high expenses. You'll go bankrupt fairly quickly. You can have an average income. You can have a blue-collar job and go to work, be a trade. You can have average income. You can have no debt, average debt, high debt, and you can have few expenses, average expenses, and then many expenses. So where do you want to be? Most people are in this average range. even people that think they're low income, being in the United States, you're earning a lot more than other people in other countries. So you may think you're low income and your expenses might be high, but you can always drop your expenses a little bit and also hopefully get rid of some of that debt. And we're going to teach you how to do it. Now, here's where you want to be. You can be high income, but are you going to be no debt, average debt, high debt? Or are you going to have few expenses, average expenses, or many expenses? Again, this is a decision for you. This is why I bring this up. This is where, in this book, you're able to work out these different scenarios and figure out where you want to be. Because again, it doesn't matter who else is in your life. No one's going to tell you exactly how much you can spend and where you can spend it, because you're ultimately going to make the decision. Now, someone can tell you and you're going to decide to agree with them, but ultimately you are in control. You are in power over the amount of money that you spend. Now, here's the thing. If you don't have the money coming in and you continue to spend and have a ton of debt, I'm sorry, you will run out of money. And then the government will decide, because usually that means you're going to bankruptcy, you're going to go to jail for some sort of fraud. People turn to crime because of some of these things. And so at that point, that's when you lose control and you lose the option to make your choice. So let's find out ways that you can actually become average income if you're lower income. And if you're average income, how you can be higher income. And then if we can get rid of some of your debt and also lower your expenses, then everyone will be happy. You'll be happy. Those living with you will be happy. It's just a way of life. So this is something for you to figure out. Go into our book and put your choices down. Now, most of the time, and I actually run through what normal life is. If you have high income, but high debt and high expenses, a lot of times something's going to happen and you're going to go into bankruptcy. If you are low income and you have high debt and high expenses, you're going to go into bankruptcy. These are all things that we don't want you to happen to you. We're going to try to pull you out. So this is all part of the Debt-Free Millionaire brand, as I was explaining in the last video. And if you haven't seen that video, you need to start off with that video. It gives you, or sorry, video or podcast, because this is a podcast, or this is part of a podcast. So you can catch us on YouTube and you can catch us on, Spotify, Apple, all these different podcasts that are out there. So one last thing for this first day is that I want you to make these decisions and I want you to write down some goals. I want you to write down goals of where you're going to be in the when you turn 40 years old. See what your financial goals will be. And this is funny because this is actually a book that we want you to keep over a long period of time. So you're going to actually come back and tell us later on, say 10 years down the line, this is where I am now. And then the last question, are you happy with your goals you have reached? So again, these are questions that you're going to put down your goals, but then you're not going to answer the other two because those are going to be for later on. Because we want you to come back to this book. We want you to come back and read this book over and over and over again, learning new things and growing every time you pick it up. So, and then there's the last part is we actually provide a journal so you can actually write some information down, things that you're thinking, thoughts that you have, feelings that you have. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. But so that is week one, day one of this journal. So whether you're a student or whether you're an adult, as you can see, this applies for everyone. Personal finance is not set for one age group or another. It's basically how much experience you have or how much experience you can glean from somebody else. So let me give you one thing to think about before we end this podcast. Okay, so let's see. It was 2017. Let's go back a little bit further. 2016. I left my dream job, moved out of that state, and moved to Missouri. my spouse at the time was going having a really hard time with depression. And I wanted to support her, so we left the state, left my dream job. At the same time, it wasn't my dream job per se, because I never wanted to work in a cubicle. So it was the cubicle, but I'll go more into that job later on. I'll just make it separate. But here's the thing. Here's what happened. I went to Missouri, and I didn't have a job. I did have a business that I was trying to get started, and maybe not the best time for me to get started with it, but it was essential to get my wife out of the state. And so when we got down to Missouri, I didn't have a job. I was able to allow my former employer to keep me on for the next few months until the next year, until he basically said, I can't keep you anymore, so I've got to let you go. And so, long story short, I came into Missouri without a job, and technically, we were living off of about $1,000 a year, or sorry, $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month, that's $12,000 in a year. Anyone with a 9-to-5 minimum wage job, it makes more than that. But my spouse, actually, my ex-spouse, sadly, we got divorced, she actually went off to school, so I became the stay-at-home dad. And so I started doing multiple jobs. I started teaching English to kids in China. I still had my business, so I was making a little bit of income from there. And I had a lot of little side gigs that I was doing. In the end, we basically brought in about $1,000 a month, and we still made it work. Because as I was saying in the last video, one of the houses that I had purchased, we flipped. We actually flipped while living in it, and we took the proceeds and bought a house in Missouri completely debt-free. Not one, we didn't owe a mortgage company. We paid cash on this house. We lived off a little bit of our leftover savings, and I made a little bit of money. The following years, I actually did get divorced, and then I was still a stay-at-home dad while she finished her education and then went to work. I soon then became a real estate agent, but for about 2 years, maybe even three, I was living off of about $12,000 to $20,000 per year. So in what we were just talking about, my income was very low. But at the same time, what was the other part? The next part was your debt. My debt was either very low or no debt. Because I got that, I was able to survive off $1,000 a month. But that's only because I was able to get a good opportunity, which I'll teach you about, and buy this house, which got me the opportunity to move forward and live a life where I didn't have any stresses in that sense. I had plenty of stresses in other life matters. But because of that, I also had to lower my expenses as well. So I went to Discount Foods. I never had actually had to go to the food bank. I never had to apply for any kind of church funds or anything like that. I was always provided for. I was blessed by God to give me those things. So we are able to, if we can, lower your debt, lower your expenses, then you can be average income and still become a millionaire. You can be low income and still become a millionaire. I guarantee it. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that you will become it, but I guarantee that you can become it even at those places. So there's a clarification there. So without me going on more of a rant, I just want to give you a little bit of life experience. You can actually make it. Doesn't matter what your income is. But at the same time, you have to be able to sacrifice some things. And that's why we started off with you learning about what your income is, what your debt is, and what your expenses are. And next week, or tomorrow, we will go into your income. We'll go more into the income and what is important to know at that point. So thank you so much for joining us on this debt-free millionaire experience, this journey. And for all those zealots, and hopefully you become a zealot, to my debt-free millionaire zealots, have a great day. Everyone else, please, have a great day and see what you can do to get yourself out of debt and having a great life. And we'll catch you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.